हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव हरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 123, chapter 63. The Lord's universal form, His Hiranyagarbha form, and Maya are all coverings. But because the Lord is not covered by these three, intelligent authorities call Him Turiya, the fourth. Okay, how is that? You are self-manifesting, thus you are the cause without a cause. Though you are indivisible, according to various transformations, from manifesting the three gunas for all beings, you become the form of Mahavishnu and appear to possess gunas by degrees of your powerful avarana shakti, swa mayaya. Thus you alone are the Lord, Ishaha. Krishna asks, some of you are my guna avatars, and some of you are my vibhutis. Thus you are not different from me. Right? Because Krishna always sees the oneness, so the connection that it's all him. But the devotees always see the difference. Right? Rudra replies, you alone are the Lord and we are only servants. Why? You are the first, Purusha, because you are the fourth, Turiya. Because Turiya means transcendental. Right? Because Narayan and Vasudeva are included within you, you are without a second. Thus you are the cause, Hetuhu, of all others. But you are without cause, ahetuhu. Since you are self-manifesting, but you appear as many eternal real forms for your devotees. By your mercy, swamayaya to your devotees. For your devotees and to your devotees. By your mercy to your devotees. Okay. You appear in order to spread prasidyahi to the people, all your qualities like beauty, or to produce the highest perfection of your qualities according to your bhava. Right? So everything is coming from Krishna. So that's the whole point is Lord Shiva is making this point, is that it's all Krishna, but he's the origin of all this. Therefore, they, as coming from him, are surrendered to him. He's the original. Because all other forms are coming from him. So he's recognizing the position of Swayam, that he's not an avatar, he's the avatar-e. So even though there may be other swams, forms, there may be his different, what would the different ones he gave you, or... it's down here.
Second line. Called Narayana.
Okay. Yeah, no, there's some other aspect. Yeah, okay. So... Yes, so according to his mood, then he expands, he interacts, he has all these pastimes, but it's all him, the one person, but he takes all these different flavors to interact with the different devotees. And he can do all this simultaneously. So it's not that he's a different person, it's that he's interacting with a different devotee. Right? So when you're interacting with the demigods, you'll have one mood, because they deal with him in a certain way. They're the ashra, he is all relationship. But they are the ashraya, or the shelter of one relationship. And so, depending, when they deal with him in that relationship, he responds that way. You know, but it's just Krishna can do it all at once. Right? Yes. So he can, let's say you're having a family get-together, right? And so then, let's say we just take like the grandfather. And so then he's going to be interacting with different people and all that, with one and the other. Some things you can do together, like this and that. But Krishna can be interacting with his son in different expanded form, interacting with the grandchild, and interacting with his wife, interacting with this. So he can do all this at once. And whatever is the ideal, because sitting in the formal environment in the living room isn't the ideal place to interact with the grandchild. Let's say out in the backyard. So he's out in the backyard with the grandchild. He's sitting, in some nice corner with his son discussing important things. He's sitting there with the ladies of the house, the living room there discussing different things. You know, he's also in the kitchen with, whoever's doing the cooking and talking with what's going on there. You understand? So it's the same person. It's just he expands. It's not different people. But because of the mood, that's where we make the distinction. So you can't say they're the same because the mood is different. But you can't say they're different because it's the same person.
Yes.
Right? So you don't make so much distinction between Krishna and Vishnu, but at the same time you don't say they're the same.
Yes.
Right? Same person, different mood. And since mood is mentioned here according to your bhava, that's the most important aspect. That's the part that you see. The bhava is the point. What Krishna's mood is, that's then what is established there. So the mood in Vrindavan is one thing, mood in Dwarka is another, in Vaikuntha another, within the material world another, is the Purusha avatars. So according to that mood, but that mood is based on his interaction with the devotees.
The bhava, we're speaking of. So when Vishnu has a particular bhava, and when devotees have darshan, like Gaudiya Vaishnava, they have darshan of Vishnu, then can they have the same bhava as they have for Krishna?
Can the Gaudiyas, when seeing a Vishnu Murti, have the same bhava as they do with Krishna? Means you're going to address through the form he's in, but you're going to address him as who he is.
Mm-hmm. So, okay.
It goes on the same. It's just like, a close friend of the high court judge is there at court. He just happens to be there. They're going to, let's say, afterwards go out to lunch or something. So he comes there, and his friend's dressed in the robes and got the wig and, the whole thing. He's got his hammer. He's got the whole thing like that. And so then all the other barristers and that are there, how does he deal with him? According to being a judge, but at the same time, as who does he see him as? His friend.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So they both work at the same time. There's not a problem. Yeah? In other words, if you're there in a South Indian temple, you stand there formally and offer your prayers and do everything nicely. You don't pull out your flute and start playing and stuff like that. No, because that already, what's his name, tried that. It didn't work out so good.
Gopukumar,
yeah. Yeah.
I think that was the difficulty with Mahaprabhu when he entered the Jagannath Mandir and he felt, ecstasy. He didn't match the mood, and the pandas, they wanted to beat him actually with the sticks.
Yeah.
Because he was fallen in an ecstasy and tears. And he ran and wanted to embrace the Lord. But then...
Yes. Yes, so that's the thing, is that you maintain. So you see, other than that, then generally he would always, then he'd stand by Garuda Stamba and then take darshan and everything like that. So it's just that you match the environment that's there. Just like, let's say, the gopis and Brajbasis are seeing Krishna in Kurukshetra. They follow the etiquette for seeing Krishna in Kurukshetra. Or the gopis are with Krishna at Nandabhavan. They'll follow the etiquette that's there. Right? Nanda Yashoda, that's their place. So they can be, natural. Like that. Does that make sense? But the others, then the cowherd boys have to behave themselves. Gopis have to keep everything, hidden, like that. Does that make sense? The servants can go around nicely. So the servants and the parental rasa, that can nicely manifest. The shanta rasa. But the shanta rasa is out in the cowshed. Right? They got there. So like that, then they go. But as soon as they goes out in the forest, then he's with the cowherd boys. Now it's their place. And then he goes off, he's with the gopis, now it's theirs. So we always have to see is that there's a time and place for things. Otherwise, you know, you want to keep it proper.
Maharaj, but you also have different pastimes of the Lord, like Jagannath and things like that, where the deity, you know, he reciprocates according to the bhava of the devotee. You know?
Yes. That is, but the point is it still, it doesn't mean that you don't have that mood. You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like the judge is there, all the barristers are there, everything's very formal, you're standing on the side. It doesn't mean that he doesn't look over at you and smile. You know? You know, he just smiles and goes back to being formal and everything like that. You understand? So it's up to him, but that's his business, not your business.
For example, if sometimes we find ourselves, because Prabhupada said that we shouldn't associate with the Mayavadis and demigod worshippers.
Yes.
But sometimes you get into a situation when they do their worship and you're there. And you see, for example, Lord Shiva. They worship him as supreme and we worship him as the devotee of the Lord. So you anyway, you don't understand what they're saying in Sanskrit.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
See, association means it's close, it's intimate, it's on purpose. So, in other words, sitting in the same place, riding in the same vehicle, doing work and things that are in the same, that's not association. So, if you're at work with people, that's not association. It's where it's specific that you're doing things that are close, personal, like that, intimate. That's the kind of thing. That's association. You know, it's like you have a business lunch. That's not association. It's business. But now you just go to relax with the people and sit there and all that. No, that's association. So that they're there worshiping Shiva in their way and we're worshiping in our way. It doesn't matter. That's the point. It's not a problem for Shiva. He's not going to get schizophrenic or anything like that. But, you know, run out of the temple of... pulling out his dreadlocks because he can't handle it anymore. Yeah, it's not going to happen. If you do see that, that's probably because of the guys who are worshiping him. So, yeah. Okay. Sri Rudra continued, "O Almighty One, just as the sun, though hidden by a cloud, illuminates the cloud and all other visible forms as well, so you, although hidden by the material qualities, remain self-luminous and thus reveal all those qualities, along with the living entities who possess them." So here he's bringing out a very nice thing about this point, about the being the ingredient cause. Though, even though he's the efficient cause, he's the original. Even though he's covered by the cloud, so in this case then the material energy, the Mahatattva, still it's his illumination that makes it like it is. Like clouds, they're there, but you can see the light from behind them. So in that way, Krishna illuminates everything in the material world. Because he's actually the light behind everything. Everything works and functions because of him. So that's the whole. So he reveals those things. So as things develop, as things change, as you understand, that's he's revealing them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But that makes him the efficient cause, isn't it?
He's the efficient cause, but he's also the ingredient.
No, but this specific one, that he's behind it.
Yes, in this case you're seeing that, but you're seeing he's manifest through the ingredients. That's how he's the ingredient cause, because he's not, in that way, as a person, directly the earth, water, fire, and ether. It's not that, you know, you sit there, with your clay pot and say, "Oh yes, Krishna, I know him well." You know, that kind of stuff. It's that he means he's the potency of that makes the potness of that pot, right? The pot hood can be based on that potness, and so therefore you have a pot.
Hmm. And if we take the Chaturvyuha, can we say that's Pradyumna because of the property?
The attractive features, Pradyumna, the knowledge of it is you know the position, what's your relationship with it, that Shankarshan. The goal that you can get from that pot, the process you use, so that's all four are involved. The four are studied so that you understand the various aspects, but when you application, it all happens together.
Okay. So when you say about the ingredient of, like, when you answered Mataji's question about the ingredient of creation is Krishna, so it actually doesn't refer to the matter, but the potency that makes the matter.
Means he is the matter itself, but we're going to take it that he's represented in the superior qualities. He is the matter also. But it's, what we're talking about here is the qualities that are there that make it, like an earth, the fragrance of the earth. So that fragrance that is there, or its strength that you can build things with earth. You can build a building with earth. Right? You're not building it with whipped cream or something like that. That wouldn't last very long. I mean, just look at it. It means gingerbread is much more solid than whipped cream, and look what happened to that, right? So then let alone if you make it out of whipped cream. You know, so much work, and then it's so easy for the others. Well, gingerbread, you know, you put in work, and they have to put in work to eat it. Right? Yes. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments. The sun, Eva, covered, illuminates equally clouds and objects. It reveals objects located at a distance, just as it illuminates clouds which are close. The affix sam in the verb indicates that though the sun is covered by a cloud, it still presents light to make objects completely visible. Right? Even a cloudy day you can still see. That's because the sun is illuminating. So whether something's near, far, we'll stop there. So that is going to work. Does that make sense? It's Krishna that's revealing the qualities. It's Krishna that's making all these things happen. That applies to the Lord as well, the object of comparison. The Lord, though covered by ahankara, is ahankara's cause and reveals clearly qualities and the possessor of qualities. Apitiha means covered. Right, so because of our false ego, we can't see. But that doesn't mean that he's not who he is. Because for us, it's only important what we think it is. But the Vedic process is actually understanding things how they actually are. That's why the term as it is. We see it all through. The Acharyas use it, the Vedic literatures use it. This as it is term is a standard term because this as it is. Not how we want to see it, or how we'd like to see it, or how we think it should be. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not Bhagavad Gita how I think it should be. Like that. That's the other additions other than Prabhupada's, right? You know, does that make sense? Yes.
Rudra is a personification of Ahankar.
He's the quality. Yes. So even though you can say he's there, he's covered by that, but he still remains. Even though there's the transformation, that milk's turned into yogurt, milk's still milk.
Yes.
And is the cause of yogurt.
Yes.
So that's the thing, is that all these things, he's simultaneously all this, but at the same time as he is a person, is different.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole. Though the jiva is covered by ahankara and paramatma is not covered, the jiva cannot realize you because of his covering. You reveal everything and you are self-manifesting. Atma pradipaha. Thus you are not covered by ahankara. Right? Because he doesn't have any false ego because he knows who he is. We're the ones that don't know who we are.
Right?
You are always in a manifested state. Right? Because otherwise there would be nothing and there is no such thing as nothing. So he's always manifest. The reason is that you are unlimited, Puman. Nothing can cover you. Because he's unlimited, so what can cover the unlimited? Right? And he is even the cover that you want to cover the unlimited with, he's still that cover. Right? So that's the home. Or spreading great mercy, you are the crest jewel of the well-behaved. Right? So then the qualities that manifest. You, the crest jewel of the well-behaved, do not reveal yourself because of natural shyness. But you do this indirectly through guru and others. So he has natural shyness. That's where the shyness comes in. Otherwise, how does the Adi Ras work so well? Because there is that aspect of a natural shyness. Well, then the one is the main way of dealing. The other one is not. So when you're dealing with those who are shy, then you become bold. But when they're bold, then you become shy. Is that? Yeah. So he reveals himself through the guru and others. Otherwise, he's hidden. Like you even see there's grammatical rules because this particular thing is there, it's hidden. It's not actually does anything. I'm not sure is that there's, can't remember what, there's some, yeah, can't remember. But it's a grammatical rule that there's something, some letter is there. Oh no, the letter's not there. I think it's an N. But the grammar applies as the N is there, but you don't see the N. And so then I think Jiva Goswami makes this point here, is that the Lord is unseen. But because of that, that's why it works, but you can't see the working. Yeah? Okay. Thus, you are the storehouse of the best qualities. So he has the best qualities, and therefore, you know, that aspect of shyness, then he's not there, you know, how you say, you know, talking about himself. Guru and others, they reveal like that. And then when they reveal, then he says, no, but, you know, but why do you say this? I'm just, you know, doing this. And then they have to explain it. So the glories of Krishna come out by the devotees. Like that. Only Arjuna asks him to be guru, then through guru he reveals. So if Krishna takes the part of guru, then he talks about himself and reveals about himself. Right. That is illustrated in this verse. So someone, he then, so someone's Krishna conscious, then they're illuminated by Krishna, therefore the good qualities stand out. Krishna is the reservoir of all good qualities, you're connected with Krishna, then those qualities then shine in the individual devotee. Right? You are covered by Guru, a jiva who is like a semblance of the sun, who is your amsha, gunena. Then you then reveal the gurus, the givers of mercy, guninaha, in order to reveal the qualities like mercy, gunan. One should not say there is some other reason for this revelation. What does it mean?
Mercy.
Not mercy.
Something else.
Oh, he reveals things by himself. So it's not the mercy that does it, it's himself reveals. Atma Pradipaha, he reveals by his mercy because he has unlimited greatness, Brahman. So he wants to reveal. It's not because of mercy forces him to reveal. No, he reveals. He's self-revealing. So then he's covered by Guru, so you can't see Krishna. But through Guru, then Guru can reveal Krishna. So like this, then Krishna is covered. But then we can appreciate by approaching Krishna through the devotees. That's the process. Right? So that's why we have to be very, very careful, because it's none of these other qualities will make it work. It's not by our intelligence, it's not by our endeavor, it's not by our austerity or our study or our charity. Any of the religious recommended activities, they themselves can't reveal Krishna. It's only when Krishna shows his mercy by his own independent will. He shows that mercy then through Guru. So he reveals the Guru. Right? By the grace of Krishna, one gets Guru. By the grace of Guru, one gets Krishna. So Krishna reveals the Guru, then Guru reveals Krishna. Right? Otherwise, he's covered. Like that. Because since the point is it's not about his greatness and this and that. He's already great. So whether at 1/10,000th, the tip of the hair tells him he's fabulous or not, doesn't make any change in who he is. So, therefore, it's when there's affection, that's then what's attractive. So even though he's unlimited, then he's attracted by that 1/10,000th, the tip of the hair, showing affection. Sri Rudra continued, their intelligence bewildered by your maya, fully attached to children, wife, home, and so on, persons immersed in the ocean of material misery sometimes rise to the surface and sometimes sink down. Right? Immersed in the ocean of material misery. He didn't say the ocean of material happiness and distress. No, he just said misery. But sometimes they rise to the surface and sometimes they sink down. DVT purport mentions. Srila Sridhar Swami explains that rising in the ocean of mercy indicates elevation to higher species, such as demigods, and that being submerged refers to degradation to lower species, even to immobile forms of life, such as trees. As stated in the Vayu Purana. Yes, you go up north and they like walking around with nothing on, and up north it's all trees. I'll let you connect the dots. Yes. As stated in the Vayu Purana, vipar yascha bhavati brahmatva sta vara tvayoho. The living being rotates between the position of Brahma and that of an unmoving creature. So he just keeps going around and around like that. So it's only when he comes in contact with the pure devotee, then he knows. Because we see Brahma is with the thousand-headed Vishnu. But it doesn't mean that he necessarily is a devotee. It means that you're with the Lord, but the Lord only reveals himself through Guru. You're not interested to know, then he may not reveal himself. So he can just rotate through this. So it's not that, yes, we were Brahma that first time when we come into the material world. We could be Brahma again and again.
Yes.
Point is, it's only when you come in contact with the devotees, then the nature of the Lord is revealed. Then we actually understand. Sri Rudra continued, "One who has attained this human form of life as a gift from God, yet who fails to control his senses and honor your feet, is surely to be pitied. For he is only cheating himself." Srila Sanatana Goswami comments. The non-devotees are criticized. "Having attained a human form suitable for worshipping you, Imam, given by the Lord, who should be respected as the greatest benefactor, a person who does not control his senses, who does not serve your feet with respect, is lamentable and condemned because he cheats even himself." Right, so he's naturally cheating others, but he's cheating himself also, because you have the human form that you could move on and advance and understand God conscious, but they don't take advantage, so then they just go through the motions of human life and just waste their time. So it's something to be pitied, because here's an opportunity, because he can't get that in any other species of life. So in this species you can get that. If you take advantage of it, then that's good. But if you don't, then that's a waste of time. So that's pitiable. You know? Yes?
Talking about guru-disciple relationship, if we officially receive initiation from a spiritual master, but then relationship isn't there, it remains as it is. So what's the benefit?
Benefit is you're connected. So whenever you do decide to take advantage of the instructions, then you can move forward. Because the point is that the connection is so that we take the instruction seriously. That's the whole point of diksha, is siksha. But because of the conditioned nature, then unless it's formal, we tend not to take it so seriously. While on the liberated platform, simply accepting the instruction, that is initiation. There's no need of a formal ritual. Right? The diksha is for the purpose of siksha, and on this in the transcendental platform, then the siksha means diksha. Right? So for those who are liberated, they can function on that platform. They don't require the Pancharatra, because they work on the Bhagavat platform. But for in the Pancharatra and in the Vedic, then you have initiation, of which there's a ritual, a formal. The ritual itself is purifying. It has meaning. It has all these different kinds of things, so you can take it more seriously. But the whole point is, we'll take the instruction seriously. That's the whole purpose. So, makes sense? So the connection is there. It's just a matter of when we'll use it.
But there is a theory that...
Okay. No, yes. That theory.
That once somebody receives diksha, then shiksha can flow not necessarily from that person. It can flow from any other Vaishnava direction and like that. Is that right?
It means that that is there, but it also should be flowing from the Diksha Guru. That's there. Or approved of by the Diksha Guru. So the natural thing is that when you come in contact with the Vaishnavas, then with time one develops so many Siksha Gurus. And then, you know, because different ones bring out different aspects, this and that, and so like that. Because we have a wide personality, so therefore all these can connect with other persons. Then with time, one becomes prominent. Right? So they become like the prominent Siksha Guru. Then, having that person being prominent, then you take Diksha from that Siksha Guru. So in other words, the Diksha Guru was the most prominent Siksha Guru. So he was a Siksha Guru. He is a Siksha Guru. It's just the others remain as Siksha Gurus, and they're the Siksha Guru who's the Diksha Guru. So that's why in our line, the Siksha Parampara is the main thing, because it's the importance of the instruction. So then you have that if, then it's understood that you're taking Siksha from these other individuals. And so that would be the natural way it would work. And if there's a difficulty there that can't function that way, then these Sikshas will go on however they go on. But then when one's with one's Diksha Guru, then that becomes the prominent element. You're careful about how you discuss and deal. But the normal thing is, let's say you heard something from somebody, then that would be discussed with the Guru so that you can understand it properly and nicely. But, you know, you apply it according to what works. But you can't, I say, that connection is still there. One always has to remember one's connection is through that Diksha Guru. It may be nourished by a Siksha Guru. You know what I'm saying? So that's why, let's say the Diksha Guru falls away from Krishna consciousness. The connection is still there, but it's nourished not by that Diksha Guru, it's nourished by a Siksha Guru. Does that make sense? So there's no need of reinitiation. Reinitiation is for those who've taken initiation from a family guru, like a ghost caste Goswami or, you know, a Vedic guru or someone like that, and they're following the process of initiation. You may even have the same mantras. Let's say you took initiation from a, you know, let's say a Goswami in Vrindavan or a local Bengali Goswami or, you know, you have your family. So you may use the same things, have the same mantras, but they're not actually in Parampara. Right? So therefore, then, now when you surrender to the Vaishnavas, the pure devotees, like that, then when you get that faith, then you take initiation from Gyan. That's the term when Bhaktivinoda Thakur says re-initiation. Again, you take. That's the context that's used in. Does that make sense? That's what it means. It doesn't mean you took from a bona fide guru and then he fell away and then that, and then we'll use the, you know, the fallacious logic. Well, you know, but then, you know, he fell away, so he wasn't actually a guru, so he never a guru, so he actually didn't have, you know, we don't have to do that. You know, it's that you're connected, but now you can't nourish it by that person. You wouldn't associate in that way, so you take those instructions from someone else. Right? And so, therefore, anything in between those two.
Because today we have three main categories. Those who give both Diksha and Shiksha. Those Vaishnavas who give only Shiksha. And some give Diksha. But in terms of Shiksha, you know, they say, it's okay, I'm giving you Diksha, but you then go and learn from somebody.
They all work. That's why the verse is Sri Gurun. It all works. It doesn't matter. Especially it's nice if the initiating spiritual master then says, well, I'm not here. Most of the time you take advantage of the others who are coming, the preachers, the, you know, the local authorities, like that. And so then it's already been done for you. You don't have to go and ask about that. Mm-hmm. So that's the natural. So the point is to get, because it's revealed, means it's revealed through instruction, through knowledge about Krishna. It's not like the our Calcutta friends where they touch you on the head and then, you know, revealed everything and all that. So, yeah. Is that? Yeah, so it's all bona fide. But when it's still, it's serious that you have to deal with it properly according to etiquette. You can't be using this system to your own advantage. You have to be using it for self-realization. When I say own advantage, I mean material advantage. Does that make sense?
Yeah. In cases where devotees, they only take Shiksha, they seriously follow everything, but they don't take Diksha. Is that okay? Or
Someone follows Siksha but doesn't take Diksha. Means by following the Siksha, then their faith will grow, their association of devotees will grow, their practice of Krishna consciousness will grow. It means it'll be advantage, but at the same time, it's not considered as serious as someone who does take initiation. Because the point is that why wouldn't they? You know what I'm saying? What's the reason not to? Since it's the process, why wouldn't you do that? You know?
Because many times devotees say that ours is a Siksha line, you know, not a Siksha
line. Ours is a Siksha line, okay, yes. The Paramahamsas, I should say. perspective on them. It's a siksha line, yes, but it's about siksha, but it doesn't mean that we're not conditioned. So the point is someone who is liberated would never make that point. So only those who are conditioned would make that point. And the pancharatrik system is for those who are conditioned. Right? The hospital is for sick people. So people are healthy, then they don't have a problem with the hospital. It's a sick person who's in the hospital is saying, no, I'm not in the hospital. I'm not sick. I'm fine. I'm great. You know, they stand up, walk three steps, and fall over, right? You know, like that. No, I'm okay. You know, so that's the whole point is that, no, you require that. So Krishna doesn't take them seriously. They're there, they're doing something, it's there, that's nice. But they haven't surrendered to Guru, because it's through Guru that it's revealed. So that's the whole point. What's your relationship with Krishna? This would be, you could take one very essential point. In relationship to Krishna, what's their position? Who are they?
Nobody.
They're nobody.
You know. To get the
yeah, because the point is, you get the diksha, because then you have a connection. You can say no, but at the siksha, but you're not on that level. You're not liberated. So here it's that even though you're not liberated, you have the condition. I'm following this devotee. And then like that it goes. So but don't worry. But you don't be in anxiety. If they're not interested or they whatever reason, don't worry about it. Because then next life, then they'll may get more serious.
And Maharaj, in cases where devotees they are unfortunate enough to not get initiated and they leave the body and they are doing shiksha throughout, so can they go back to God?
If you remember Krishna, but then you'll have to make that connection there, but it's easier there because it's a siksha connection. So point is you have to make that connection. There is no such thing. It's just like there's some one pastime, I can't remember who it was. It was Lokanath Goswami. Huh?
He was trying to jump.
No, but he was just directly dealing with Lord Chaitanya. And he's there in the pastime with the Lord. He's interacting in that, you're this and that. No, I'm not. He's like my brother, Nityananda Prabhu. He's like this and that. Like, and then he approaches Nityananda. No, like this. And he takes him all the way down. Each one sends him down the parampara till he gets actually to his guru. Because he was initiated, but he was just approaching directly. Then, from his guru, then he says, no, now you approach. Then when he came back to Lord Chaitanya, then it was accepted. So the whole point is that we are a servant of Krishna as the servant of the servant of Krishna. Because Krishna says, one who says he's my devotee is not my devotee. One is the devotee of my devotee. He's the devotee. Because that's the whole point. For Krishna, it's a relationship back. You know, it's just like, okay, you know, kids are there. Okay, that's nice. But now you just want more and more kids, or we should move on to grandkids? Yeah, because it has more taste. Kids have a taste, grandkids more taste. You know? So you can imagine, you know, servant of the servant of the servant, so it gets good. 1,000 times removed, Lord Chaitanya said. So, but, you know, how you say, grandchild to the 10th. You know? Yeah, and nobody gets old. Yeah. And it doesn't get freaky. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
You mentioned this mercy aspect, and then it's the Krishna is the origin.
Yes. Means mercy as a quality stands on, oh, you have to give mercy, but why? Because of its connection to Krishna. That you have to be merciful, but why? Then we're saying that the authority for mercy is mercy itself. The authority for mercy is Krishna. Krishna is the source of mercy, so mercy is not independent. Right, so you say, oh, you should be merciful to this person, but why? So Krishna's saying that, yes, everybody you see, everybody you meet, tell them about Krishna. So based on the authority of Krishna, therefore mercy is shown. But otherwise, if we just show mercy and it doesn't have a connection to Krishna, it'll be misplaced sentimentality. And they will always see that always comes around and gives us trouble. Does that make sense?
So how does it be understood that there's more mercy in Mayapur than in Vrindavan?
That's just because then Lord Chaitanya will accept a broader range. Because who's taking the mood of Radharani? Krishna. So for Krishna, then it's not as much of a problem. Krishna is sitting in your heart. You deal nicely, not nicely. He's not getting overly worried about it. Right? But in Vrindavan, then that's Radharani's place. You don't deal properly with Krishna, she's not going to like it. Therefore, the offenses are greater. But here, it's Radharani's place, but Krishna's Radharani. Therefore, it has that same point. Is that is Krishna, but he's the devotee. And the devotees then are very, you know, has that kindness. So, that aspect. So it's easier. But they're the same place. You have to understand they're the same place. The flavor is different, but they're the exact same place. Right? So if you're living in Vrindavan, you're living in Vrindavan. You're living in Mayapur, you're living in Vrindavan.
In Mayapur?
In Mayapur, yeah. So that's why it's unique, because you get both. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like anybody who lives here, they go to Vrindavan, they appreciate it. They like it. But sometimes we see those who live in Vrindavan come here, they can't relate. So we see Mayapur includes both, Vrindavan doesn't. Yes.
Sometimes one may not get initiated because there is too difficult local political situation in the yatra to ever get recommendation.
That's there, but Krishna knows if you're sincere or not, and also then but if it's in local politics, that means it's legal aspects, and so that those things are coming up that you have legal troubles, that's just due to karma. You know, otherwise, why are you in that temple, not somewhere else? Right? You can say, "No, but I'm from this place," but. Remember, so many doors, like Krishna Kshetra Prabhu, he lived in a city where the temple was there. I don't even know if he met the devotees. Then he traveled, I guess, either in between school or, you know, at some point he traveled to Europe. There he met the devotees, and he became a devotee there and was part of that yatra. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, you know, you see, you know, you have that sincerity, Krishna will work it out. Or, certainly, he is lamentable. He cheats himself, you know, his situation is lamentable. All this is there. He is completely ungrateful, disrespecting that you are the greatest benefactor. Moreover, he is devoid of happiness in this life and the next. Atma, vaschakaha. That unless you understand that everything's coming by Krishna's benefit, then you don't actually get any benefit. That's ungrateful. That's the whole point. That's why the culture is there. The respect is the proper dealings because it comes from Krishna. That's the whole idea of the culture or the religious processes are there ways to express your gratefulness to Krishna and gratefulness to those who are taking part in the process that we are getting that benefit. So it's not about the benefit you get directly from it. It's the benefit of using it in Krishna's service. Like, we're not interested in the effects we get from Varnashram. We're interested in that it can be used in Krishna's service. That's Daiva Varnashram. Varnashram is about the benefits you get. Daiva Varnashram is about its association with Krishna. Right? So, is that... Yeah. So, therefore, if you don't have respect... It's a generic thing. It's not, I don't have respect for this, but I have respect for everything else. No, not actually. You can say, no, I have respect for everybody, but not for this person. No, if you check, they don't have respect for anybody except themselves. Like that. Because it's a generic, it's a quality, and it has. You may apply it better in one area or less in one area, like this and that. The neophyte will tend to do that, but but if the principle of respect is there, you can respect others. But if you don't have that, then it goes against everybody. So you don't respect Krishna. Oh, how could Krishna let this happen? The Shastra, oh, how can Shastra say this? You know, the gurus, the senior Vaishnavas, the acharyas, you know, like this and that. And so all we do is respect people, you know, in the modern news that follow a value system that we consider important. And that's only because we consider it important. As soon as we don't consider it important, they're also, you know, not important. Does that make sense? So that respect is that we give it according to our value system rather than we actually have respect. So therefore, there's no gratefulness. Then you can't actually see. So without respect and this gratefulness, how will there be any good qualities? We'll talk about good qualities. Everyone's supposed to be nice and interact and be fabulous and it's all wonderful. But how can it be without good qualities? We're taking it the action itself will be baked perfection. No, it's the qualities in which you perform the action and that makes it special. Otherwise, on its own, it's just mechanics. And the mechanics give benefits for the body. And the point is that, okay, the body, but what about the mind? The mind requires qualities. But if those qualities aren't connected to Krishna, then what's the benefit for the soul? So therefore, activities, proper activities with proper qualities being done for Krishna, that's the package. Less than that, it's not, you know, it's like, you know, in the shipping process, there's a hole in the side and part of the stuff fell out. Yeah. Yeah. Sri Rudra continued. The mortal that rejects you, his true self, dearmost friend and Lord, for the sake of sense objects, whose nature is just the opposite, refuses nectar and instead consumes poison. Right? And here's the man who is an authority on poison. Right? He's known as Nilakanta because, you know, he can hold his poison, right? He has no problem. He doesn't need a designated driver or anything like that. Yeah. He does have one, Nandi Bhaktisiddhanta. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, though I have taught him as guru, even now he rejects you. He is most lamentable. He is subject to death and should thus not reject the nectar. Right? So he as guru, Lord Shiva as the guru of Banasura, he's taught him everything, but they don't catch, so you don't over push it. Right? Means we push this point because we come to this movement with the idea of surrendering to Krishna. Therefore, we can push the point. But for those who haven't, then you, as much as they can take, that's how much you give. So that's why we see is that the farther you go, then the more serious it becomes. So that's why diksha is then part of the process. Because the diksha then means we take it seriously and then we surrender. Mm-hmm.
And is it not offensive to the guru if one is not following the instructions of the guru?
Is it not offensive to the guru if he's not following? It is, but at the same time as, you know, that's your position.
And still the guru is so merciful unto Banasura.
So should he not be merciful? So as soon as you don't follow, then, you know, yeah, you know, so that, you know, does that make sense? You know, got up in the morning and instead of going and taking your bath, you sat down and started looking at the internet and so then at that time, then the floor opens up, you know, and then you and your bed and your computer then fall all the way through. But, and then you find yourself down in hell, but it's not so bad because you still have your computer and you still have 10 hours of battery life. So, and amazingly, the connection's good. Right? You understand? So the point is if it's not for mercy, then what chance do we have?
Yes.
You know, if you'll notice while you're down there, there is no snowballs, right? They just don't last down there. So, look at that. Yeah. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes we see when we preach, we push people to a certain level, and then you feel, even though we said that as much as a person surrenders, then the intensity should increase. And logic says that we should push more.
Yeah, but pushing means that there's a line that they can surrender up to. It doesn't mean that we're not pushing up to the line. We don't push beyond the line. So you push, in other words, you push at the speed they can go. That's the whole point. And what you see is that if there's something that they have a problem with that, then you pull back. You pull your pushing back. Is that they step back 2 steps, then your pushing is from 2 steps back. You don't keep pushing it 2 steps forward.
And ourselves, we should push ourselves a little more beyond the line? Or
up to the line. You know, you can see there nicely and then, you know, stick your toes in the water and see if it's any good. Because the whole point is that you know what position you're on, you make that solid. that you're performing the duties and activities of that and you're comfortable at that level. But you know what the next level is. So now, once you're solid in that, you start working now on the next level. And then as the next level becomes solid, and that, then you pick up your foot from the last level.
And your stuff. And all your stuff.
Yeah, whatever goes to the next level. You know, it's just, you know, just like you go to the store and you buy things and they come in packaging. And then when you're eating, you're not sitting there with the packaging. So you've moved on to the next level. Yeah.
We've seen many devotees being burnt out.
Burnt out, yes.
Is that because of this principle of they were pushed over the edge?
It depends. It's individual. It may be someone pushed more than they should, but at the same time, is every individual has that free will to choose to be in that situation or not. You can say, well, no, we had no choice, but you know, you can always go to another place. We have 600 temples. It's not a big deal. Probably for 20 euros, you can get to another temple, you know. Depends on where you are. If you're in Perth, it's going to cost you a bit more. But it's the farthest way away. It's the most isolated place in the world. Like that. You know, amazing. You think it's in the Congo or this or that. No, it's Perth. So, depending on where you are, you make a different arrangement, adjust the service, do this and that. But the point is it has to be for your development in Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, is if you can persist with it, Krishna will arrange it sometime. When you surrender to it, then Krishna can change it. But until you surrender, then it's not pushing, because there's something to learn there. So the situation may not be one that's, let's say, the most ideal for you to engage your nature. But at the same time, there's a quality that is necessary that can be gained from that experience. And so when we gain that quality, then we can apply that quality in our area, where in our own area we may be too comfortable and not apply it. You know what I'm saying? Let's say we're very good at a particular activity. But now when we do that, then we're confident of ourselves, we're proud of ourselves, and we think we're doing a fabulous job. So how is that going to be pleasing to Krishna? Now, if we're doing something that we can't do very well, or it's a challenge for us, then in that we have to surrender. And having developed that surrendered mood, now when we do this, then it works. Does that make sense? Yeah. So like that, Krishna arranges. Yes.
In relation to what Prabhu just talked about, devotees burning out, devotees leaving, sannyasis, gurus changing, maybe falling down. The importance, if you can stress the importance of Vaishnavas, to be there for those if they wish to come back up and create an environment that's acceptable for them to come back.
The point is the whole mission of Lord Chaitanya is about moving forward in Krishna consciousness, coming up to the platform of prema. That's the whole goal. And then being on that platform, one continues that service eternally. So whatever is best for the spiritual advancement of the individual, that's what has to be done. So we have to see is that engagement in Krishna consciousness is the only process that will purify one and make one qualified. The idea that there's some mundane arrangements that can make you qualified to take part in Krishna consciousness, that's an illusion. It doesn't exist. So that's why we see the six. One of the themes of sixth canto, the Bhagavatam is explaining that it's not about prayaschitta. Prayaschitta doesn't actually do anything. All prayaschitta does is satisfy the mundane attachments and views of justice of mundane people. That's all it does. So when you say, this guy has to be punished and he can't do this for this long or he can't do that, that is for our satisfaction. It has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. Now, if you see someone's having a problem in an area, let's say that they're very good with accounts and all this and that, but they have a problem with money, then you may see that, they continue in accounts, but they don't do anything with the cash. Someone else does that. You understand? So you might find it's a weakness. Then in the future, as they become purified, then they can deal and it's not a problem. So then they could do both. You know, so if there's a difficulty in the situation they're in, they may be separated from that so that they can get the spiritual strength to work within it. Prabhupada gives the example of the brahmachari. Brahmachari is to be trained. He's taken out of the social environment. Then more specific environment, then you're trained in the qualities of brahmacharya. Then having been trained, now he can go back out and function in that position in the society and not be disturbed. So he can either remain as a brahmacharya and not be disturbed, or get married and not be disturbed. But in any case, he has the training for that. So if there's a need to remove from that, put him in another Krishna conscious situation in which they can develop the qualities required, then they can go back if that's their natural work. But if it's been seen that, yes, they've been pushing to be, you know, a manager and that for the last 30 years and everything's falling apart and finally it really falls apart and it's never worked nicely, then it's a matter of, you know, why don't you see now that you're not a manager? Do something else. Now you're really good in this area, that area. Okay, they're not as prestigious by the modern, mundane view, but this is what will please Krishna. So that's there. But if you see as they do a good job of it, they do nice, then they get distracted. Then you put them in a situation where they can be then brought to the platform of being able to function again in that situation. You know, someone's, let's say, a temple president. They have problems as a temple president. Removing them from being a temple president doesn't either make the temple run better or make their life better or anyone else's more Krishna conscious. Now, if it's just a matter of there was something there and by some association, some discussion, it can be fine, they would continue in that. If there's a certain situation that is there that they need to be removed from some time, go spend some time with, you know, some other devotees and another situation, and then review it and then come to a point where one's stable again, then come back and do that service, then that would be fine. Does that make sense? So that would how it worked. So ideas removed from that and the eternally damned and all that, we have to remember that's a Christian thing. It's not Vedic. It's not Vaishnav. Because if we talk about eternal damnation, it says we already left Krishna and came here. Isn't that eternally damned? So why there should be an opportunity to go back to Godhead? You know? It means the it's said that to come to Krishna consciousness, one has already gone through all the 8,400,000 species of life, and it's kind of more of a been there, done that. And so now you're really wondering what's going on, because you've tried everything, literally. So that means that 8 million species of life, and most of those 400,000, you get into those species of life from sinful activities. So now how is that we can be pardoned from that, but not from something done in Krishna consciousness? We can say, oh, but that's offense, and that's this. These are just mundane wranglings. That's all. It's simply our attachment. Because it says in Manu, because when we talk about laws, Manu is the book. And when it comes to punishments and this and that, he's got it all for everything. So, and in there, he makes the point that the reason for this is because people know about it. He says if no one knows about the sin, then the process for purification is chanting and reading and associating. He says it right there. It's known sins, then you can have these things. Why? Not that that's a better method. It's because others know, because they're so mundane, they can't digest because of their attachment to their own situation, their own security. They think if you do something wrong, then you have to be punished because you're messing up my environment. Does that make sense? So if people aren't punished, then anybody could do anything, I won't be secure. So it's actually for mundane security that pious chitta is there. But unless you change the consciousness, you haven't done anything. So if as a leader, then you make a decision of something mundane like that, you have not done anything Krishna conscious. You have benefited no one. Say, oh, but all these devotees, they won't accept it. Why don't you try preaching to those devotees? Why don't you try uplifting those devotees? I have never seen that once on the table as an option. I've never seen it. Before 86, yes, that was the option. This is what's done. People complain. This is why we did it. You know, become Krishna conscious. Quit being so attached to your mundane concepts. But from 86, then no. Then it's like, no, the people. And then from then it's that died. And then therefore you can't. Even though it's all about, yes, you know, the downtrodden and all that, as long as that downtrodden wasn't an authority before. Anybody can come back to Krishna consciousness as long as they weren't a guru, a GBC, a sannyasi, you know, or anything like that, you know, that was an authority that would be in my area that I would know they were authority. You know, if they want to, you know, disappear and go off to Uruguay, hey, that's great as long as we never hear about it. You know, does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that this is not mercy. This is not the mission of Lord Chaitanya. This is some... And it's not even real. It's not even based on Manu. So it's not even human rule, you know, law. It's just speculative law that I feel like it, my friends feel like it, so the three of us, we think it's great, so therefore that's the law for ISKCON. No, it's not universal. You know, but you have to see is that their situation there is not going to disturb others, means in the way of Krishna consciousness. Their mundanity, they got to work on that themselves. You know, that when they see him, that I always feel bad, you got to work on that. You know, how long can you go on with retribution? Retribution will keep you in the material world. It's not a spiritual quality. We've taken it that Krishna consciousness, they're moral, so therefore whatever morality I accept, that's Krishna consciousness. That's false logic. No, what Krishna says is law. That's law. And then of that law is what's given to us by the acharyas. Now that's our law. And whatever we make up, that doesn't have any meaning at all. So unless we see that way, then it's not going to work. So we see here, but that mercy comes from Krishna. We're thinking, no, the mercy comes from us. If we're merciful, if they decide, oh yes, no, he he went up and in front of everybody then said he was so terrible and disgusting and all these terrible, terrible things that we'd love to say but we shouldn't say because, you know, we're cultured and all that. But he says it, hey, well, he said it. And then after he said all that, he pulls out a gun and shoots himself in the head. Now he's a great guy, you know, he's good, he's nice, you know, like that. You know, what to say? Things happen, you know, like that. People make mistakes. But if he didn't shoot himself in the head, then we got a problem. You know what I'm saying? So the one of the natural qualities of the living entity is friendship. And so friendship is in the spiritual world it's just friendship. With Krishna it's love, prema, and with the devotee all of the living entities friendship. But when you come into the material world then it has the qualities of friendship, compassion, and indifference. So the compassion is then part of that. So this lack of compassion means you're actually going against it's sinful against the actual inherent nature of the soul. Even though people may say it's great and everything's moving forward, I haven't. It means they have to know there's a difference between walking and moonwalking. Moonwalking, you're going backwards. It looks like you're walking. You're doing, you know, like that, but you're not. You're going nowhere.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premi.